Now, speaking of staying at home, well, a lot of people are, and it's a subject we've discussed many times in recent times. What do you do to get people to come back to work if they have been, you know, after COVID? They went to work from home and they found they really liked it. So getting pretty creative to lure the staff back into the office with a bit of extra leave, free lunch and all sorts of things. Well, Natasha Hawker, founder of the Employee Matters, an HR and recruitment provider in Australia, is on the line with me now. G'day.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Good. So we have to entice them to go back to work, do we?
We absolutely do. It is close to the tightest applicant market I've seen in almost 30 years, I kid you not. And what I mean by that, Tim, is it's incredibly difficult to hire great talent. So our recruitment experts are having to search for almost every single role, and popping an ad in Seek no longer will get you the results. So those organisations that have attracted benefits like free tennis lessons, I'd love to do that, will not only attract, but they will retain, which is just as important, the best talent.
Yeah. So are people really saying, no, listen, I'm not coming back unless you... Yeah, really?
Yeah, they seriously are. We have candidates that are suspicious when employers are talking about, we've got this really flexible workplace, because not all flexibility policies are created equal. So we have candidates that will actually say, actually, I need to see the policy before I'll even agree to an interview. So it's going to be those employers that are creative, for example, that additional leave, that are going to attract those high talent, best candidates available in a tough market.
Yeah, so I'm assuming, and you can tell me, what is the basic reason people are saying, listen, I'm not coming back because I'm quite effective here, and we know in the modern age of technology you can be quite effective. Is that the main reason? I said, listen, I can do it from here.
It's really interesting, Tim. When COVID first hit, I actually said, we are never going back. This is a genie. We're not going to get back in the bottle, and we're hybrid work from here on in. I think a big driver to your question is we're finding that the cost of living crisis is also driving this. So for many employees actually coming to work, once they've paid for their public transport, they've lost 1 to 2 hours per day in travel time, they bought their lunch and a coffee, they're probably spending close to up to $50 a day.
Oh,
times that by five, that's $250 a week, and that's $12K a year. And they're probably thinking, I prefer to be using that money for my rent or my mortgage and actually keeping a house over my head.
Okay. And I've got Professor Ray Cooper, Professor of Gender, Work and Employment Relations at the University of Sydney, and lead author of this study, on the line with me as well. G'day, Professor.
G'day, Tim. How are you?
Yeah, good. They're getting creative. I tell you what, the virtual golf course, that'd get me.
I'd be staying at work. I would not want to do that, Tim. It would not get me back.
Yeah, tell the listeners and me about your study. It was pretty comprehensive.
Yeah, so we've been talking to Australian employees across sectors, genders, life stages, with kids, without kids, regional areas, outer metro, inner city, and about what their priorities are around work for the last couple of years. We've talked to about 500 people.
Yep.
And one of the things that's coming out very, very strongly is that there was quite a big unmet demand for good, high-quality, flexible working prior to COVID.
Yeah.
COVID showed everybody that it actually can happen, and the world, the organisations and the economy didn't fall apart because of hybrid working. And now that it's an inbuilt expectation. So where managers used to say, you can't do it here, it doesn't work in our team, I don't want it, their employees, as Natasha said, are really saying, well, actually it works in my context. And because it's such a seller's market, employers are having to respond fairly creatively. And where they're not, they're really going to struggle to keep or to attract talent.
Yeah, if I could ask both of you, because I was going to ask, was it particular to men or women? But I think Professor Kubia found that really it's just flexibility, regardless of location, gender, industry, and it's just general. Yeah.
So it's interesting. So counterintuitively, you'd often think, we often talk about flexibility as really being a women's orientation towards work. But actually men have greater access, from our surveys, have greater access to flexible working arrangements. And that's partly about the types of jobs they work in. So if you think about, women really dominate in those essential work, you know, essential services in childcare, health, education, It's a bit harder to imagine how you do work from home there. But also, the more senior you are in organisations, the more likely it is that you have access to control over when you're working, where you're working.
Of course, yeah.
But that's not to say that so men have better access, but they are still not quite using it as much as they're able to. But our figures from our national survey pick up that it's basically even between men and women, and it's about 70% of the entire workforce in Australia say they want to work at home at least one day a week on a regular basis. Yeah. So that is pretty significant.
Yeah, and Natasha, when someone's recruiting, is this becoming an enticement already without even asking about anything else? And by the way, you can work here at the office, and I'll give you this, that, and the other thing, or you can stay home, or staying home not even an option.
I would go so far as it's even an expectation. It's not even an enticement now.
Okay.
So, you know, the issue that we've got, Tim, is that we have a productivity and a talent shortage, a productivity issue and a talent shortage in Australia. And here's the thing. If you have highly engaged employees, that is employees that have what we call engagement is the measure of discretionary effort of like 75% and above. Research from Harvard says you get on average an increase of up to 21% more productivity and 20% more profitability. And that's what Australian businesses need at the moment. They absolutely crave that. So I think, you know, they have to have very compelling employee value propositions, what's in it for the employee, rather than thinking about, well, I can just pick and choose who I want, because the candidates have the power in the market, as Ray said. So that's the challenge that we have today. So we've got to make sure it's attractive.
Yeah, tell me if I'm off base, but gee, for a number of years I've been talking about this sort of flexibility, but not necessarily working at home or going to the office, but it's just hours, I think. I think we're really silly. We're telling everybody today about how difficult the trains are going to be, but flexible working hours, does that come into the equation for people too, Professor Cooper?
I've got a great idea.
Absolutely. They're really keen on having control, I think is what it's about, and having some choice. So it's not necessarily actually there's a good bunch of people who don't really like working from home by themselves all the time and don't want to do it all the time. But there's a lot of people who want to say, actually, if I wake up and I decide I don't want to go to work, if it's a terrible Sydney day like today, I'd be more productive being at home rather than getting wet and cold and sick. But they want that capacity to be able to make that choice. And if they want to sort of go and pick the kids up from school at 3 or 3.30, which is really hard to do in any job, whether you're working part-time or not, that they want the capacity to go and pick the kids up, give them some afternoon tea, get back on the computer and get back into
work.
There you
go. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Natasha, you had something on that, yeah?
Oh, sorry. I was just going to share. I run my own business, and flexibility, to your point, Tim, is around, I suppose, control and managing your hours. So it's Friday afternoon. I'm about to get in the car in a minute and drive to Bathurst for the Squash Masters.
Okay.
And I will log on when I get to Bathurst, and I'll probably work a fair bit over the weekend. But I have the flexibility because of my seniority to do that, because it's my business and I work my diary around that. But I think people realize through COVID that they could work from home successfully too. And I think the trick here is having to manage what people will need to do. So you need to measure it so you can justify if you're not delivering, then don't let them work from home. But if they're delivering and they're happy and they're engaged, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. And look, this is a good point Jeff from Maitland is making. It's about the work you're doing. You know, builder, supermarket worker, teachers can't do it from home. So that's, you know, some people are saying, oh, well, you know, it's all right for them, but I just can't do it. And I've got another text here with health workers. I mean, they can't do it either. They've got to be at the hospital. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So, Tim, I think that is a big challenge, actually. Yeah. And I think they're right. Because there are some jobs where there is actually just less access to these forms of flexible working. And I think that's a bit of a problem for labour supply in those sectors. So I think rather than saying, okay, well, it's really hard to imagine how someone who's working in an emergency room, for example, would be able to do that from their computer at home. But there might be other ways that we can design, good quality flexibility into those jobs with some sort of control over what works for that person, what works in their broader life for them and their family. Otherwise, if frontline essential jobs are the ones that have the biggest flexibility deficit, we're going to struggle to actually get people to be training into those professions and occupations, and we're going to struggle to keep them, because why would you not move somewhere else? And I've got to say, we're looking at the moment at our national data and workers who work in those essential, like really critical jobs have just as strong a demand for flexible working as do other sectors of work. So,
I'm getting texts on, you know, both sides of the fence, and Tony makes a good point, and it had appealed to me. He works from home 5 days a fortnight, wouldn't swap it for anything. A more productive, as I'm saving up to 2 hours driving, along with the associated costs. Importantly, I'm having a better work-life balance now than I had before. So bottom line, both of you, I guess, is if you can do it and your employer is happy and is providing incentives, well, away you go.
Yeah, totally. And if your employees want it and they're productive and they're staying engaged, as Natasha says, offer it, ask them what they want and see what you can make work between the two of you.
And Natasha, are you playing squash or watching it?
I'm playing. So fingers crossed.
Squash is indoors.
Yes, I'm in the Masters in an age group where I probably shouldn't be running around a squash court for my knees. But anyway, there's plenty of older people than me out there giving it a crack.
It's lovely to talk to you both. Natasha, thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us, Tim.
And Professor Ray Cooper. Thank you very much, Professor.
Yeah. Thanks, Tim. Lovely to be on. Thanks.
Indeed. Yeah, Natasha Hawker, founder of Employee Matters, an HR and recruitment provider in Australia. Professor Ray Cooper from the University of Sydney and lead author.